that wasn't me that was keying the repeater, but anyway, N4YR, Mobile. Monitoring the repeater this morning, N4YR.
He happens to be lurking around the repeater.
I don't know about lurking, but if I key up a repeater, you can rest assured I'm going to an ID.
Long time ago when I first got on, it seemed like that was the thing to do, to chunk this, and it happened all. I finally had to turn the repeater off for a period of time.
When I had my repeaters up on Mount Mitchell for 26, 27 years, especially the 6-meter repeater, I had to go in my controller and actually put a five second delay on it. I do believe that repeater was keyed up promptly, and I'm not exaggerating, at least 500 times in a 24-hour period. And they were just kerchunking. So I put a five second delay on the COR opening up. You actually had to open it up with voice, and that helped some. But then again, it really got some of these keyers upset. And once I had it set for a minute and a half to reset the timer. Well, let's just say I had to take that back off because it made a whole lot of them mad because they couldn't kerchunk their machine. And I just had to put it back to standard operations.
Kerchunking is, I guess, a sport. I don't know. It's just one of those things that happens. And, it's not as bad as you. But that's the thing.
Friday night on my 6-meter repeater up there, and we had, you know, Mount Mitchell, you got a 250-mile coverage, and that net would come on at 7 o'clock, and they had two net controllers. One net controller would take over for 2 hours, and the other one would take over for 2 hours, so it went on 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours. And we would have anywhere from 250 to 325 check-ins, and they had equipment to list. So you can only imagine the traffic that was on it.
Made your pileups on that? Okay. Now, I'm originally from the left coast on that skirt of country. You can figure out which state that is. Oh, yeah, we had a repeater out there, real, real popular, and it covered most of the Northern California. We get a guy from Mount Shasta that could reach all the way down to basically the Sacramento area. But anyhow, one guy kept jamming it all the time and would not. He even knew he was jamming it, even though we ignored him. And so finally, people started, you know, wondering, what are we going to do? I was driving home one day, and a guy was up there kerchunking it and making noise and all that. So I turned my squelch way up, and I happened to be driving through a small town called Manteca. And I had my squelch turned all the way up on the input, and he pinged my repeater. He tripped it. And so then I got on the repeater and said, hey, I'll tell you this much. I know he's near Main Street in Manteca because I got my squelch up, and he tickled me. And never heard from that guy again. So people that want to do it maliciously can be caught. Just got to work at it.
Actually write a book on jammers. We had a jammer one time in the Carolinas that used to jam all the repeaters up on Mount Mitchell. Ken Woodard, he owned the 145190 up on Mount Mitchell. It's still up there, but it's not on Clemens Peak. They had to move it on Pisgah Mountain now. But we had this one in particular guy that we fox hunt, and I'm going to tell you why. We even had a 50 dB attenuator, and we walked right up to his house, And I'm gonna tell you what, I won't say on the radio what we how we dealt with him, but I used to have some really good connections at the DFCC with the enforcement, and he got a letter in the mail a couple of days later, and I want you to know we never had no more problem out of him. But there's one guy, and I'll call his name. I mean, I'm proud to call his name because this guy was a teetotally nut. He was a teetotally nut. Dan Renfro. He they walked up on him, and he was jamming EMS. He was jamming the local police department. But now we're talking 15 years ago. But this guy was a menace. I could write a book on him. And we used to get out and track him down. And he'd jump out of his back of his pickup truck and run when we'd pull up behind him. In for a while.
I can do it, but a friend of mine, actually the guy that introduced me in early 1990s. Anyway, I'm the guy down in the coast of California, mobile all the time, talking about how he couldn't stop on what they call the FTC, and the FTC says, until you get through, we can't do it. So they got together in the club and started tracking this guy down, and they caught him on the road. Big old video camera, was filming him with his video camera with the audio on, and you could actually see the guy talking into it. It's like a bad Japanese or bad Chinese movie. His mouth would move, and then you'd hear the sound. It was like a 2 or 3 second delay, but it was enough for the FCC to come get him, and took care of him, had no more issues with that. But that's the only time I ever heard about it. One guy was somewhere in California actually jamming in the FCC. Emergency services called the FCC and came down. Oh, yeah. The company I worked for, it got bought out. Back in the day when they were building the company, they pulled up a commercial license for their 440. And they got all set up, and they used it. Well, the guy that was in charge of setting up the radio license and everything, he retired, quit, or went away. Nobody bothered to pick up the license. The school district, 10 years later, requests some frequencies. The coordinator gives them the plant in corporate. And sure enough, FCC came down on them. And when it came down on our corporate plant, my GM, who usually sends people to go get me, jumped in front of my face and says, how's our FCC license? I go, we're good. We're legal. And he said, okay, not a problem. But yeah, that was real scary. They were really shocked at the FCC coming down.
Tell you what, I've been in this business since, let's see, I came from Vietnam. I went to college for 4 years under the GI Bill for electronics. But my instructors back in Gastonia, North Carolina, at the time, I got really involved in with the FCC. Back then, we had a guy named Freeman, W4JJ. That was his call sign. J.J. Freeman, that's what they call him. And I got hooked up with him, and I really got involved with the enforcement, which I was an honor guard in Washington, D.C. at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier when I was in the Marine Corps up there. And, you know, once a Marine, always a Marine, but I love to get out, like I said, in fox hunt. We had all kind of equipment that we could literally go out and find a carrier that was a low voltage, low wattage carrier, and just walk right up on it. I used to love to do that, but times are changed. I got my extra class license in 1970. No, 69. I'm sorry, 69. And the times have really changed. And, you know, I went through all the phone patch, and we went through, I built the first 2-meter repeater in that area, and we put it up on Crowder's Mountain. But tell you, I love the hobby. I've always been, in amateur radio for many, many, many years. But I really appreciate people abiding by the rules and regulations and keeping it clean. And because, you know, those little rugrats that's running around, you don't want any derogatory words said coming over the airways. But I have run people off of my repeater for making innuendo, derogatory statements. But it's a great hobby. I just hoping that that we've got people that can come in and take over and keep everything professionally, and because I really enjoy amateur radio. I just hope that we can keep the status of it to a higher limit there. QSL N4YR.
The thing is that you've got to work for it. An individual that get a hold of ham radio that don't understand, get lucky and find one that's operating. I mean, there was one kid in California, he got a hold of old Radio Shack 202, and he couldn't make it work. I said, well, you need your ham license for that. He said, I don't need a license. Ham license will teach you how to run it. He said, well, how does it work? I said, I ain't showing you. I already know what you do on the CB radio and 10 meters. You're not going to get that far on ham, not without a license. And the other thing I did was, I wanted the call sign, and I'll admit, I'm a tech extra. That's not a problem there. I did, when I tried to get my general and start learning Morse code, I found that was very, very difficult. And as soon as they dropped the Morse code, I went up and found out that they dropped it. I went and got my extra license for the call sign, and then it took me 3 years to learn 20 words a minute for a Morse code, send and receive. I was proud of myself for learning that, but 3 years every night for at least an hour. And I used that Farnsworth method. Really enjoyed it.
HCW, I've tested probably over, I'm gonna give you a rough estimate. Through the Carolinas and Virginia, I probably tested, I'm a VEC with ARRL and W5YI. But over the years, I've probably tested pretty close to 10,000 pupils to get their license, and that's something that I'm really proud of. That, and also we would teach classes of of rules and regulations of Article 97.113 and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know. I love to hear a young lad that gets involved in amateur radio and someone teaches him the proper for ham radio. But I don't know. It's just like everything else. It's we used to have it at a high standard. Because when I went up in ranks, when I went up in grade, I started out as a novice. I had to go to Atlanta and take my test to get my novice license and pass 5 words a minute code. Then I went on up to 13 and got my technician plus, and I went on into general and then advanced and then extra. But I want you to know, back in them days, you could count on one hand within a 500-mile radius of extra-class ham operators. They were far few in between, and I was proud I was one of them.
After when I was in high school, a friend of mine's dad was a ham operator. He had radios the size of a refrigerator, great big giant tubes glowing, had an air conditioner in the room, window in the room and all that. But listen, I am destinated and I need to get going. So it was a good cue, though. Hope to hear from you again, talk to you again. But this is Scott here, Whiskey 1 Juliet Echo. I'll be clear on your final.
I'm down here in Greenville, South Carolina. my fiance, she lives here, and I live in Fancy Gap, Virginia, if you look my call sign up. But we'll be back and forth. I brought down one of my 6 meter repeaters, and I've got it on Paris Mountain, 53.630, and it's got a PL tone of 100 hertz. It's 1 meg down. If you've got any 6 meter gears, be proud for you to come over and use it. But we've only had it on the air for about a week now, week and a half or so. But this machine here has got some great coverage. I'm mobile, and but I certainly appreciate the club allowing me to use it. And maybe we can hook up sometime. I've got a lot of knowledge in building repeaters. I mean, a lot of knowledge. I've been around for quite a few years building FM repeaters. But anyway, if you get a chance, use my get over on my 6 meter repeater. It's a coordinated repeater, 53.630, down 1 meg at 52.630 with a PL tone of 100. So 73, Scott. Enjoyed it, my friend. Have a great day. N4YR Mobile.
NWA Mobile.